God has designed. That our destiny belongs up, and we must exist there. Excellence and authority in the greater glory. That is the theme of the month. But this morning, it is the necessity of existence at the top. The necessity of existence at the top. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to verse 16. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The necessity of existence at the top. Our objective is understanding the value, the relevance, a necessity of existing at the top in life. It has been established on Wednesday, midweek service, we established that the topmost top is God's ordained place for his people in the earth. The topmost top. We saw it four dimensions. We saw how God decided that. First, at creation, God said, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion." Then we saw by the covenant, when God spoke to Abraham, and he said, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2, we saw how God spoke, and he said, "It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. He will set you on high above, and you shall be the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath." We saw it by covenant. Then also by the prophetic we saw. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. God said, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways." That is, God is saying, my plan for my people is that they be at the topmost top. Then we saw by redemption. Matthew, we just read, he said, we are a city set on a hill, we cannot be healed. In Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 2 and in verse 6, the Bible said we have been raised together and made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Darkness into his marvelous light. If you are not here on Wednesday, please, I'd like you to pick the message, because this thing was dealt with in that service. We saw countries like America, whose official motto is "In God we trust" on their currency, whose nation was founded on godly principles. And we saw that nation take off and stood. That nation took us as and stood as the number one nation of the earth. Amen. That is in control. God is in control of that. We saw also the nation of the United Kingdom, how that little nation colonized the earth by virtue of giving the world a Bible, the King James Version, by their king, King James the First, who instituted the research on the production of a Bible as accurate to the original translations as possible. We saw how the nation of the United Kingdom has an official representation and had, from their earliest times, in the parliament, a representative of the church. We know that from ancient times, the king or the queen is the official head of the Church of England, officially. And that nation, little nation, went to the top, because when people embrace God, they must go up. We saw the nation of Korea that was almost a non-existent nation at the end of the Korean War become today not just a developed nation, but one of the 20 strongest economies in the world, because of the revival, the church growth revival that hit that country and literally took the nation up. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? You look at the nation of Israel, a small nation of about 6 million people that is a force to reckon with on the earth today. We can't go into too much details on Israel. Israel has a neighborhood of almost 100 million people, nations around it, yet stronger than all of them put together, in every form, in every realm, in every phase. Because God said, if you embrace me, I will take you up. Can somebody say a louder amen? Can somebody say a louder amen? There are people seated here today. In a short while, your God and my God, by the time he's through with your life, you shall be one of those that shall be remembered on the earth here. I have come to discover that Christian people, those who know God, are those who shape history. They shape history positively. Whether it is in the field of science, I don't know why I'm struggling today with this voice. Is it a sound? They shape history. Whether it is in the field of science and invention, in the field, in the political arena, in the business world, they are on top. Nobody contests it. If you go to science, you may have heard of Blaise Pascal. Pascal
the father of the science of hydrostatics, the study of how, of the pressure that fluids exert on other objects. He was also used in the development of calculus, the theory of probability. And he invented the barometer. This Pascal, you can't call science without calling Pascal. And Pascal said, why must anybody risk his life by saying that there is no God? He said, why must anybody risk it saying that God, live as if God does not exist? Then he said something. He said, if you live your life to give God pleasure, and at the end of your life, you discover that there is no God, what have you lost? He said, you will only realize that you have lived a worthy life. He said then, but if you live your life as if God does not exist, at the end of your life, what happens? Two things. You say, first, you realize that you have lived a corrupt life. And number two, you face misery for eternity. Misery for eternity. That is who you call the father of science. Isaac Newton, who is behind gravity, discovered gravity, the three laws of motion, laws of universal gravitation, developed calculus as well. Isaac Newton, the father of mechanics. This same Newton. You can never talk about Newton without talking about his faith in God. Foremost physician, father in physics, father in mathematics, was not just a church-going believer, but somebody who wrote books on how to preach. I think he wrote equally on both preaching and science. That was Newton. Then you go to Louis Pasteur, the one who connected how diseases are caused by germs. Louis Pasteur, the father of vaccination. Louis Pasteur was a solid, strong Christian. He did a lot of work in the fields of chemistry, in the fields of physics. Louis Pasteur is considered to be the greatest biologist that lived. Solid child of God. Robert Boyle of the Boyle's Law in chemistry. This Robert Boyle had writings in theology and was one of the strongest opponents of the theory of evolution. That there's nothing like that. God exists. And that was Robert Boyle. Then you have Michael Faraday. Faraday laws of electrolysis, electromagnetism, electrochemistry, the diamagnetism, and all the diodes and anodes and cathodes and all of them. He was the one that literally popularized those words. Michael Faraday was a strong Bible-believing Christian who changed history, impacted chemistry. These were people that rose from the ground to the top because they held God. George Mendel, the father of genetics. Thomas Edison, and so on and so forth. Beloved brothers and sisters, God is saying to you and he's saying to me that the top is the place for his people. You cannot afford to be a Christian and be in the pit. Is God speaking to somebody? Say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. I have so much to say, but maybe as the month goes on, I'll talk about other people. I talked about the American four-star or five-star General Douglas MacArthur. Solid Christian. He fought both the First World War and the Second World War. Fought in France in the First World War. Second World War, he superintended the deliverance of the Philippines from Japan, and forced Japan submitted to him. They bowed, they surrendered into his hand. In the Korean War, he took a dangerous move for the rescue of Seoul, Korea. He had retired 3 years, then they recalled him back. Am I communicating? This man was so solid in Christ, and then he became promoted to 5-star general and Supreme United Nations commander at that beginning of the Korean War. And he said something that I want to read to you. He said, there is no physical courage and no brute instinct can take the place of divine help. No physical courage, no brute instinct can take the place of divine war, of divine help, especially in times of war. He said something else. Battles are not won by arms alone. There must exist above all else a spiritual impulse. That was the rugged, brutal soldier. He landed behind enemy lines deep in Korea. Risky move. Yet he whipped them. He said, anything I am by the help of God. Was the youngest chief of army staff in the United Army history, the age of 50 at that time. God, he held on to God till his dying days. I am saying all this to say to you that at all levels in history, God takes his people and make them and put them in charge. There are people seated here today. I prophesy to you, God is about to take you up. Say that amen like a believer. Say that amen like a believer. Say that amen like a believer. Lift your right hand and say in the name of Jesus, I am going up. I cannot sit down. I am going up by the power of God. Take your seat. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Let me mention two businessmen. You have heard of John D. Rockefeller. He was not just a devout Christian, but a Sunday school teacher. A Sunday school teacher. That was also of the health ministry of that church, their church, and became the first dollar billionaire in the history of American, probably the history of the world. Sam Walton. I think that family has more millionaires than any family in America. Alice Walton and all the Waltons, billionaires on the billionaire list currently. This man had a strong Episcopalian Christian background. From the year of 1980 all the way to 1988, he was the richest billionaire in the world. Bill Gates became the richest the year he died. Am I communicating at all? Strong, strong, influential, solid Christian, 1982 to 1988. Are you ready to see how many people are under his employment? 2.2 million people. 2.2 million people. 10,000 stores. 2.2 million people under his employment by 1967. How much more today? That is what church can do for people. When people say this your church is what you will eat, say amen. Is God speaking to anybody here? Now, I have so much to say on this, but let's reserve it till another service. The question is, why does God want to take his people up? What is the necessity? Why is it necessary to exist at the top? What value, what profit does this hold for the kingdom of God? For God's people to exist at the top. Let me say it like this. That if you are a businessman, you are the number one businessman in your line of business. If you are a businesswoman, you are the number one businesswoman in your line of business. If you are a politician, you are the number one politician in your realm. If you are in arts and in creativity, you are on top there. Whatever realm you find yourself, that you are the one on top there. What does God want to achieve? You are a lecturer, you are a professor, and you trusted God until you are the vice chancellor of the place where you are, of the university. What does God want to achieve? You are a judge until you become the Supreme Court judge of your country or the High Court judge of your state. What does God want to achieve? You are a medical doctor until you became the chief medical director of that teaching hospital or the minister for health or whatever. What does God want to achieve? Am I communicating at all? By the time we are through with this preaching, I want the spirit of mediocrity to die. Every attempt at, all I want is just to get a car. All I want is just to get a house. That is mediocrititis. All I want is just, let me just make it all. Praise the Lord, I just bought a house. Praise the Lord, I just got a car. Praise the Lord, I've just been able to travel to America. That is ordinary survivor. God is talking of something far beyond that. He's looking for something far beyond that. Abraham didn't just have a car or a house. Abraham was in charge of nations. And what we're talking about is not all about just getting money. Far beyond that. It's God speaking to somebody here. Why does God want us up? Because God is a God of plan. He's a God of purpose. He's a God of objectivity. He's a God of design. When you understand what I am saying, you won't just sit down passively to happen at the top by chance. You won't sit down passively. When you understand what I am saying, it becomes a project to arrive up. Not by hook or crook, but by divine principles and process. If this is what God wants, and if this is why it is necessary, then I have already left the ground. I have already left the back. I have already left the ground. I am already at the top. Somebody who believes that, say a louder amen. What does God want? Number one, the necessity of existence at the top. One, existence at the top is existence to advertise the goodness of God and attract the unbelieving world. It is existence to advertise the goodness of God and attract the unbelieving world. That is, when you are a quality Christian, a solid Christian, who has influence and authority, you are in a place of authority, a place of influence, a place of affluence. That existence preaches a sermon that no message can preach. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 9. It says, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. That is, people will look at them and people will say, look, there is something about this man. There is something about this woman. I don't mind being like this. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, where we quoted, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine. Come to the point where where you are so outstanding, a city set on a hill, that people will look for your God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. It's a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people.
It's
so that you
o'clock.
Can show forth. You can let people know how good God is. This is my example. You are a billionaire businessman into production and manufacturing, having like 50 manufacturing plants across the country. And your faith in God is not hid. On occasions, you carry solid, massive Bible. Not necessarily, but they see you like this. And you are passing through. The premises of the corporate headquarters or somewhere to your office. Maybe praying in tongues quietly under your breath. Shakalabaratus, superparatus, And a newcomer came around and he asked a cleaner somewhere, who is that man going? I feel the presence of God around him. I see what it looks like, he's holding a Bible. The atmosphere around him is cool, forceful. Who is that man? We say, oh, he's the CEO of this organization. He's the number one billionaire in our country. There is a message that preaches that no sermon can preach. When you arrive in your village and they came to see you, they couldn't come with cakes of palm wine. They couldn't come with all the things. And yet they see all the paraphernalia and all the influence and the affluence. And you are clothed with such a humility that if they didn't tell people, they wouldn't know you are the one. It preaches a message that no preacher can preach. For your information, your influence is more evangelistic than your utterance. It carries more evangelistic power. There are people that will bring themselves to you and say, is that how good God is? They will bring themselves and say, the God you are serving, lead me to him. Holy Ghost filled, anointed vice chancellor, who is not collecting or giving bribes. Holy Ghost filled, anointed chief executive officer. And he preaches a message that no Bible can preach. That is why you are the top. When you are just a struggler everywhere looking for what to eat, people will look at you and just, oh, and it's going, church, 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 what has church done? When you are in that category of what I just said, there's nobody in his right, even a madman can't look down on you. I haven't seen one who looked down on us. That is number one. And I want you to take it to heart. Existence at the top is existence to advertise the goodness of God and attract the unbelieving world. Number two, existence at the top is existence for generational role modeling, direction provision, and trend setting. Is existence for generational role modeling, direction provision, and trend setting. Said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill. That is, the child of God is designed to be a lighted city on a hill. A lighted city on a hill. The meaning of that is, the child of God is calculated to provide generational illumination. Generational illumination. How many of you know that the world is in dire need of positive role models, in dire need of direction providers, in dire need of trendsetters? How many of you know that? And when a person is successful, in quote, people think that everything he does is right. He's a football star. Is walking with scattered leg like that, with his, maybe his pulling down, and the young boys look at him and they say, that guy is the number one professional football star. Look at that, how he's dressing. Maybe that is the correct way to dress. He painted his leg and everywhere tattooed. So it means that is a correct way to live. They follow. Oh, that lady is the number one musical star. Her dress is exposed. It is transparent. She's winning a Grammy Award. Maybe that is the best way to dress then. Have you seen young people? Oh, that movie star is on crack cocaine. Maybe that is his secret. And all of them are trooping after the steps of the godless man that they consider to be a success. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm talking about at all? People are struggling. The man divorced his wife. Then they say, oh, it means divorce is not a problem. He is still successful. The man is a homosexual. Then it means homosexuality is correct. He is a voice. He is successful. Everybody is hearing about him. But when you are that sports star, that movie star, that entertainment star, whatever it is, or you are at that level or as a billionaire, they see you, they see decorum, they see dignity in apparel. How many of you know if you are succeeding, you will model and mentor people in everything, including dress? I went to Uyo Akwa Ibom State. And I saw one of the pastor's wife wearing exactly what my wife is, the type of what she's wearing now. And I see them like that everywhere. And I said to her, congratulations. There are many people who are taking steps after you. Even in dress. If you are pastor's wife with chest open, with eyes, face like masquerade, by virtue of diversity of paints, and then you walk up to the altar with an unrealistic high heel. With a skirt that is above the skirt. And you are struggling to adjust your leg. When they say sit down, you are just struggling with your leg. Somebody say praise the Lord. And then, everybody who considers you her, what do you call it? Who is your fan or considers you their mentor,
Then you see a role model. Then you see an explosion. I used to tell my wife, I say, the reason why we dress well is because if you wear anything like this, people will improve on your own. They say, since she's our mother and the Lord, her own is okay, it's okay there. But I am not the mother and the Lord, so my own can be. Am I communicating at all? Young people are in need. They want to see quality people on top. Who they can see quality marriages, quality home, quality character, quality everything. So they can say, that man is my mentor. He is not poor and he is not bad. He is not wretched. He is rich. He is influential. And everything around him is working. Is God speaking to somebody here? Look at your neighbor by yourself. Say, that is why you must go up. That is why you must go up. There is somebody waiting to follow your step. Take your seat. I went on evangelism one day at Durumi area of Abuja here. And as I was preaching, I saw a young man. And the young man looked at me and said, good morning, sir. What I am wearing it now, I saw it when you were preaching on television. This is from you. I learned that this kind of dressing is appropriate, correct, sharp, decent dressing. I saw it and I'm wearing it. One woman told my wife, another pastor, a woman pastor, she said, I watch you all the time for what you preach, but also for how you appear. Somebody say amen. Lift your right hand and say, I shall be a positive role model in my generation. I shall be. That is why we must be at the top. When Benjamin Carson became so celebrated as the number one neurosurgeon in the world, and he wrote a book titled Gifted Hands and then another book. Most young men say, I want to become a neurosurgeon. I want to become a neurosurgeon. Why? Because they saw the man, his news was everywhere. People don't follow failures. That is why you must refuse to fail and refuse to be a failure. That is why you must determine, as a child of God, I must take my place at the top. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. That's why the church, that's why we must go up. So that beyond our preaching, people can look at us and say, one young man sat in the first class cabin of an aircraft, born again, child of God on fire, first class, well-dressed, sharp. And the man sat beside him, and he wanted to preach to the man. And he told him, you have money, I have money. It's possible there are many things you have, I have too. He said, but I want to let you know of something that you may not have that I have. It got the man's attention. And I will come to that shortly. Why should we exist at the top? Number three, existence at the top is existence for systemic and organizational influence and impact. Existence at the top is existence for systemic or systems and organizational influence and impact. Systemic and organizational influence. It has been confirmed that systems are influenced from the up to down, from top down, never from down up. Influence is from up down. John Maxwell said, the leadership expert, he said, everything rises or falls on leadership. Everything rises or falls. Where you see something rising, find out about the leader. When you see something falling, find out about the leader.
Judges chapter 7 verse 17. Gideon told the people, look at me. Do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. People normally follow the leader. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. The Bible says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. Be ye followers of me. So influence is from up down. Paul was their apostle. He influenced the system down. God spoke concerning Abraham in Genesis 18:19. He said, I know Abraham that he will command his children and his household after him. Children is family. Household is workforce, employee force. I know that if I give him position, he will use this position to positively influence those who work under him. Ruth impacted those who worked with her positively. She said, I and my maidens will fast likewise. Ruth chapter 4 verse 16. Ruth was not only spiritual, but he turned everybody walking around her spiritual. She turned them spiritual. Somebody say amen. Can I ask you a question? Between the vice chancellor and the vice chancellor's secretary, who has more influence on the university? Without doubt. From up to down, systems are influenced. The chief executive officer of an organization that has 5,000 employees, he has been empowered by God's favor to potentially direct the destinies of 5,000 people without standing on a pulpit. Somebody say a loud amen. I give you an example. There is a governor who is solid child of God, Christian, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, living right, no bribe, no corruption. And he said, well, all our staff, I will be in church this Sunday. I'm doing a Thanksgiving service to God for helping our state. Any of you who want to come, you are welcome. Is that how it will be? No. We are all in church. The time is 9 a.m. We are all in church. The time is what? You may say, I don't go to church. It may come. The time may come when it means you are not under that influence. Somebody say amen. When I was in the university, in my fourth year, I was selected the president of the Medical Students Fellowship. In my fifth year, and in that fourth year, a lot of powerful revival things happened. Then in my fifth year, I became elected as the national president of the Christian Medical and Dental Students nationwide. I went through all the most of the universities, let's say 90% of universities in Nigeria, preaching to medical students. Ibadan, Ife, Lagos, Ilorin, Ebiu, Zaria, Maiduguri, Benin, Calabar, Port Harcourt, and so on. In those days, our executive meeting of the fellowship can last for 21 hours. And you know, when you gather people with brain together, we may be deliberating on next year's conference topic for the next 2, 3, 4 hours. That was how it was. Then I became president. We will use like 20 hours or 20 hours, 30 minutes to do all those deliberations, and then use 30 minutes maybe to pray and close. So I became president. You know, systems are influenced from the top down. And I said to them, if we want to do 21 hours, we can do the 21 hours. But we'll use 30 minutes to 1 hour for the other business. And then use the 20 and a half hours for spiritual business. Allah, 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 Allah. Oh, yes. It was a total shift. The ESCO meeting became a Bible school. It became a minister's conference. By the time we're through, everything turned the right side up. Yesterday, I was in Calabar. We're in Uyo. And one of the young men, a consultant physician of the University of Calabar Teaching Hospital, he came to me and he said, "I want you to know that through your prayers, I passed and became a consultant physician." He said, "But when we were in medical school, that is much behind us, we used to hear of your exploits. They called your name. They told us what happened while you were there." I said, "When you came to our church to preach and I heard the name, this is the name I heard. That impact lasted. I saw another one in the University of Ibadan, consultant neurosurgeon. He's a professional, I believe. So, the revival that you left is still on." Beloved brothers and sisters, that is why God wants you to go up. It is very hard for you to tell your cleaner to give your life to Christ. And he said, "No, sir." It's not as if you are forcing him to join your faith, but he has seen you in every respect. He has watched your character. He has watched your life. He has seen your influence and your result. He knows you are bigger than him in every way. So he said, "How should I give my life to Christ? Anything you tell me, I will do." And then he will take that step. And then maybe come to church. And then the Holy Ghost will do the rest. That is why you must be up. The number of people you can potentially change and take to heaven, they are far more than the number you can influence when you are down. Hello? Am I communicating at all? Is there anybody who needs an interpreter to understand what I'm saying? Say a loud amen. Say a loud amen. Say a loud amen. Take your seat. Yesterday we landed at the airport in Abuja. And as usual, all the drivers, the airport taxi drivers, all those people, they will rush at us. I will preach a brief sermon to them and lead them to Christ en masse. They normally would, they know who we are, they know what we represent, and they have seen things easily. But suppose you just left the street somewhere. You came, say, "All of you got," I say, "for what?" This one, they gather themselves. We go to ShopRite and then before you knew it, almost all the shops around are literally closing to gather where we are. Hello? But we can pray to 1-1-1-2-2-2 people, and that is encouraged. But you arrive somewhere and say, "All of you gather, please, I have something to say." "Who are you?" Whichever. What kind of crazy man is this? But they gathered yesterday. And as I was about to talk, to speak, one of the men said, "But Oga, there is problem here, sir. There is problem." I said, "What problem?" He pointed a girl to me sitting down there. They just brought her from Lagos, paralyzed. And that she's not talking, she's not walking. Sudden demonic strike or whatever. And she was there with a woman with another girl crying all. And I felt for the girl. Because I was wondering, why is this man interrupting my preaching? I went to the girl. And I said, "Say after me, Lord Jesus." She said, "Lord Jesus." Number one, she's not talking. She's now talking. Number two, hold my hand. In Jesus' name, stand. She stood. Walk, let's go.
The place went wild on the road. Oh, people of all religions. Thank you, Jesus. Right on the roadside there. I speak to somebody today. God is taking you up. I said God is taking you up. Lift your right hand and say, the top is my place. I refuse the pit. The top is my place. You know, even football stars, movie stars, when they are moving, people will rush where they are. Please autograph my book for me. I bought your book. I bought your CD. But sign on it. And he's filled with the Holy Ghost on fire. See, all of you gather. I will sign all the books for you. And I'm happy to know you. But there is somebody I want you to know. Who is behind my success. Behind my making. Behind where I am. His name is Jesus. They look at him as he is their star. If he says kneel down on the street, they will kneel down. That is why you must go up. That amen can be better. That amen can be better. Lift your voice and shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Did somebody get anything at all? Why must you be at the top? Because you are advertise the goodness of God and attract the unbelievers. Secondly, it will help you to function better as a role model, a direction provider, because the world is in need of who will guide them. Thirdly, you will affect institutions from top down. You can imagine an occultic person at the top of a thing. Either he initiates others into the occult, or dry up the whole place with occultic principles. That is number three, reason why. Number four, existence at the top is existence to influence other stars and people in positions of authority and influence. You are existing to influence other stars and people in positions of authority and influence. Proverbs 27 verse 17 said, iron sharpeneth iron. It takes iron to sharpen iron. It takes a person in authority to command the attention or the audience of another person in authority. It's easy for the general to speak about the soul eternity to his colleague general. It is easier. Others can do so, but it's much easier. A professor of neurosurgery can easily talk to the professor of cardiothoracic surgery or cardiothoracic surgeon on the matter of his heart easier than the laboratory attendant or the surgical attendant or something. It is easier. It's easier for the governor to speak to his colleague governor. Easier for the billionaire, especially if this billionaire is richer than the other one, to talk to his billionaire. Iron sharpeneth iron. Are you seeing the reason why we must go up? A lot of people on the top are unreached. Because those who can reach them, many of them are not at their level. You ain't saying nothing. You ain't saying nothing. According to the Americans. James Cash Penny, J.C. Penny of the Penny Stores, solid Christian, this was his tool. His story said that he led many of his co-rich men to Christ. He led many of them to the Lord. Through his influence, they knew that he was a man of stature, so he could speak to them. Or do we think that
rich people should all go to hell? Is that what God wants? Or all the movie stars and the sports stars and the music stars, all of them should die and go to hell? There should be people at their realm, people in their realm, billionaires, millionaires. That's why there is a need for Christian politicians to be in those realms where you can engage the people at your level. Somebody say amen. What I am saying, is it making sense to you? That is why God, some of us, your mission field is among the unreached billionaires. Unreached men and women of influence. Your mission field, your ministry is around that sphere. And God is saying, I want to take you up so I can reach. Do you know that there was a rich disciple called Joseph of Arimathea? Do you know he was the only one that could talk to Herod? I'm coming to that point later on. He was the only one. Peter has denied and is somewhere hiding. Thomas was doubting. Judas was stealing. Had finally killed himself. To your tents, O Israel. But there was a man. All right, I'll come to that shortly. Lift your right and say, Father, I receive the grace to go to the top. To influence people at the top. I receive that grace to go to the top. Shout the loudest, amen. Don't misunderstand me. The driver can preach to his boss. The cook can preach to his boss. And occasionally, it produces results. When the Holy Ghost uses them, it will produce as long as you are there, you do your best. But what is clear is that iron sharpens iron. Fire begets fire. That is the number four reason why God wants you up. Number five, existence at the top is existence as a voice and a force for the kingdom. Existence as a voice and a force for the kingdom. You know that authority and opportunity, they go hand in hand with prosperity. Music stars don't struggle for resources, movie stars and those kind of people. You see, when God takes you up in most realms, without stealing, the resources would flow. And prosperity assists vocality. If that is a good word or an English word. Money gives voice. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 16. It said a poor man's voice is not heard. Ecclesiastes 9:16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. So God says, I want to raise people in the church. They will have position, they will have influence, and they will have affluence. They will have authority, opportunity, and also prosperity. So that when the needs arise for the church to be spoken for, they can rise up and speak for the church. Am I communicating? Matthew chapter 27 was what I was referring to. Verse 57. I'll soon be rounding off. Matthew 27, 57 to 58. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged or demanded for the body of Jesus. You went too fast. 57. Then Pilate, he demanded, Then Pilate commanded that the body be delivered. And he went, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen. Now, at this time, when nobody and nothing could speak for the church, a man of means and voice showed up. And like I used to say, he probably came to Pilate and said, "Oh, boss, how are you?" "Pilate, what you people did to my master is not good." "Who?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "What? He's your master?" "Yes. I am one of his disciples. He influenced my life. I am anything I am by his power." "Oh, so sorry, Joe. So sorry, Joe. Joe, I didn't know." "Why didn't you come all this way, Joe? Boy Joe, why?" "Anything you want now, we'll do it, Joe. Anything. Say, give me the body. I don't want them to handle it, manhandle it any further." And he commanded, based on his standing relationship with Joe, the Bible said he commanded everybody in a hurry, "Bring the body. Joe, please take heart, okay? We'll see later." At this time, Peter was in hiding. At this time, Thomas was doubting. "Are you not resurrected? Maybe some." At this time, Judas has finished all the money he stole. He is dying. Joe went. The church in every nation needs people of influence. When ungodly legislation is being made, they will stand up in the chambers there and say, "No! This is a secular nation. This kind of law cannot stand." Church, people of all manner of influences, take your seat. You know, even though Britain came up by God, they began to deviate massively. All manner of laws. Until they made one law one day. And the respected man of God, Benny Hinn, arrived at the country for a crusade. They turned him back at the airport. "What?" "He said you came to preach. You came to work. Where is your work visa?" "You can't enter with visitor visa." Turned him about town by a very terrible law. One of the men under his ministry in Britain, top ranking, went to the authorities. Said, "This can't be. Reverse it." That is a rigid authority, as rigid as that system. They had to cast it aside. He has gone there many times afterwards for programs because God had someone in influence who could speak when nothing else could speak. You are that person that God is raising shortly. That amen can be better than that. Shout a louder believers, amen. Shout the loud most believers, amen. Finally, I'm not sure I've preached a message like this before, but I'm sure that somebody is rising out of here and this message will be your story. Finally, existence at the top is existence to access and rightly apply the resources of God in the earth. Existence at the top is existence to access and rightly apply the resources of God in the earth.
Because the Bible said in Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Haggai chapter 2 verse 6 all the way to verse 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Somebody say amen. How many of you know that money is immoral? Immoral. It's neither good nor bad. It's neutral. It's neutral. The goodness or badness of money depends on who is depending on who is carrying it. Money in the hands of a warmonger. War. Will only sponsor the purchase of more AK-47, GPMGs and grenades to kill more people. Money in the hands of a drug cartel leader is only going to purchase more drugs and destroy more lives by that drug. Money in the hands of a saint is going to take more people to heaven, build hospitals, build orphanages, build old people's homes, and build schools, and so on. And God is the owner of the monies of the earth. The earth is the Lord's. So he said, I want to take my money, give it to my people to carry out my purpose. So I want to take them up. Is there anyone like that here? Shout the loudest amen. That was why the J.C. Penney's, the Wallace Johnson, the William Cromwell or Henry Cromwell of the Quaker Oats, the J.C., the Rockefeller, the Watson, and so on. All of them. Massive resources that massively impacted the kingdom of God. Beloved, get ready. God is about to raise a set of people. Someone told me, he said, he saw this kind of building of this church somewhere in South America, like this, built there. And I said, not only there, all around the world, this is only the beginning. To warehouse the harvest of the end time before Jesus comes. And the time comes when we say, oh, we're about to build a dome. This one will be like 25,000 seater or 50,000 seater in somewhere in the former USSR. And somebody say, Pastor, please don't announce anything about it. I'm going to take over the whole bill of it. What bill? Foundation to roofing. That's what God is saying. Somebody is coming and saying, can I have the crusade bill for the next 10 years? Somebody says, all the yet to be planted churches, I need the budget of about 100 of them. Terrorists are sponsored by people with money. Some of them, they pay them and settle them. They settle their family, their wife, their children, to go and kill themselves with others by money that could have been used for a more noble purpose. That is why God said, I want to take you up. Anybody who says a Christian should not have money is either a devil's agent, an antichrist, or does not understand the Bible. Anybody who is angry that a child of God should have money or that a church should have money is either an antichrist, a devil's child,
or doesn't know the Bible. Who is richer than Abraham? Who was richer than Isaac? Who was richer than Job? Who was richer than David? Who was richer than Solomon? What of Joseph of Arimathea in their generations?
The useless devil with his useless philosophy, angry at the prosperity and wealth of God's own institution, so that the church can refuse to carry plate, continue to exist like a beggar. They used to say as poor as a church rat, because the church of those days was so poor that even the rat in the church had nothing to eat. I'm preaching myself happy right now. Hey! Hey! Lift your right hand and say, I cannot be poor. I am going up. And I am getting money. I am getting resources to use it to do the work of God. Money that God give me, I cannot say that I use 1% of it on myself. One. There is a way he handles it. What others struggle to buy. I traveled some time ago. Somebody said, please, I want you to go somewhere where they will do you tailor-made suit. Thousands of pounds for one. You know, if you give me that money, I can't use it for suit. Never. Are you following what I'm saying here? But I am glad to drop millions at once. There are times money entered my hand. I am not talking of separating the tithe. All of it. Oh, it's not a matter of take tithe apart and give this. The construction of this building and the projects going on. That is why God wants you to have it. On my mind, there are about three village churches I'm trusting God to build this year. And it's going to be built in typical village. That is not Dunamis Church, myself. Am I communicating at all? That is why God wants to give it to you. Stretch your two hands. I prophesy upon your hand. In the name of Jesus, from the north, the south, the east, the west, the resources belonging to you is coming your way. It is coming your way. Shake three hands around you. Tell them your hand shall not be empty. Your hand shall not be empty. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. Is anybody blessed? Did you receive anything? When you leave here today, I want you to vex. Get angry. Devil, you want me to keep me down. You are a liar. I refuse to stay down. So what have we said so far? That existence at the top is existence to advertise the goodness of God and attract the unbelieving world. People are more likely to follow you to God when everything is fine than when you are just struggling. Number two, existence at the top is existence for generational role modeling. Direction, provision, trend setting. You are up there and people look at you and they want to copy you and follow your steps. And if they follow you, they can't miss it because you are following Christ. Thirdly, existence at the top is existence for systemic and organizational influence and impact. You are able to influence thousands at once because they are under your authority. Influence them positively. Number four. Existence at the top is existence to influence other stars and people in positions of authority and influence. You are able to talk to people at your realm because that place is where most people can't talk to others, but you are able to. And then number five, existence at the top
its existence as a voice and a force for the kingdom. God using you to speak out for his mission on earth when every other voice is silent, because you have what it takes. And number six, existence at the top is existence to access and rightly apply the resources of God in the earth. Somebody say amen. What is the conclusion today? Two things quickly. Number one, existence at the top for the child of God is not just a possibility to desire, but a responsibility to pursue. Existence at the top is not just a possibility. Okay, it is possible for me to be this or that. Well, I desire it if God wants. Never. Existence at the top is a responsibility to be embraced. Let me say it how you will understand. It is part of your Christian duty to insist on rising to the top in all realms, so that you can be more useful to the kingdom. Again, it is part of your Christian duty to insist on rising to the top in your realm, so that you can be more useful to the kingdom. It's your duty. You are a city set on a hill. A city. It's your duty to trust God by prayer and to do what you need to do physically to rise up in your realm. It's part of your Christian duty. Daniel understood it. Joseph understood it. Esther understood it. Secondly, scriptural demands, and that was Matthew 5:14. Secondly, scriptural demands for rising to the top must be understudied and engaged. Scriptural demands for rising to the top must be understudied. Deuteronomy 28:1-2 said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord of God. So there are things I want you to do that will make me set you up, take you up. Lord, what are the demands? What do I need to do? Spiritually, mentally, and otherwise, that will take me to the top. Scriptural demands must be understood, because there is no uplift without effort. If you want to be lifted up, there is effort. Bishop Oyedepo said, there is no rise without price. Hallelujah. I wrote a book titled 30 Secrets to the Top. That may deepen somebody's understanding in a season like this. But throughout the month, we'll be exploring secrets. We'll be understanding secrets. What do I need to do? How do I go about? Because if I am a city set on a hill, I refuse to be a hamlet buried in the valley. You didn't hear what I said? If I am designed by God to be a city set on a hill, I refuse to be a hamlet, a village buried in the valley. It is my duty to be on the hill. And whatever God wants me to do, I will do it. To rise up. It's a new day for you. And for everybody, the month of May is your month. The convention of May is titled Arise, Shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We shall be exploring diverse secrets in that convention. Stand up on your feet, everybody. I am so sorry if I overpreach today.
If you are still sitting, please stand.
That's right.
She just reminded me. I remembered before I came. But she just reminded me that today is 12th of May. And it was on the 12th of May, the year of 1986, 33 years ago, that I rededicated my life to Christ to serve Him with passion. I had come in the late 70s, but rededication, full blast, this exact same day, 33 years ago. You are here on such a day like this. I believe God will begin something new in your life. Okay. I'm wondering why I was preaching with so much fire and so much passion and so much unconsciously. Consciously. Beloved brothers and sisters, as something wonderful happened to me that day, it was in the middle of the night. I had a 2 hour encounter midnight, 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. I was communicating with the Lord. I didn't know it was the Lord then. When I came out of it, I said, something said to me. You know, I hear what I'm saying. I heard a voice that said, he said to me, what will you lose if you serve me? I was thinking, what will I lose? Anyway, we were communicating. I said something. It was later on that I knew that something was the Holy Spirit. Was God. 2 hours. So we started hearing God 33 years ago. Maybe slightly. Am I communicating at all? I want you today to get set. Because a new day is starting. Anybody going up, rising to the top, give Him 7 hallelujah shouts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7. One of our young men came to me some time ago. He says, sir, I want you to institute a billionaire's club so that you can teach us upcoming multimillionaires and billionaires how to do it and teach the others coming that it is not just by praying. They need to accept responsibility. And I told him, I said, already we're on the line. We might not call it billionaires club, but we have a business and a financial forum that is starting with this convention, with this May. Very, very soon, a young man met me yesterday. About 5 years ago, I saw him in the church. He was looking very dry. I perceived him in the spirit and I pulled him out. See me after the service, he saw me and said, you are totally dry and empty. What is wrong with you? He said, it is true, sir. I am exactly everything you said. I'm having challenges. I've been planning to see you. I prayed with him, rededicated him and so on. 3 years, 2 years later, he came to drop a seed of 10 million. Now, he was flat for this project. And when I saw him most recently, he said there are people working for him now on 1 million naira a month. He said, anytime I have the privilege of seeing you, I change level. Now it's another privilege. What he does is number one in the country. What he does. Am I communicating at all?
That is why I believe there is somebody here. God is about to shift you. 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 Can you shout the loudest? Amen. Anybody who believes is rising to the top, give God seven hallelujahs. One.
Well, lift up your hands and appreciate God right now. Appreciate God right now. Honor him, adore him, worship him. Glorify him right now. Go ahead and appreciate him. Appreciate him.
Takes you up, you can influence the livelihood of hundreds. That is, apart from preaching to them yet, somebody can get a job. And if you're an industrialist, a businessman or something like that, there are so many people who will have what to eat and own their entire livelihood to your life. In that case, you are not just a man existing for survival or a woman just living for what to eat. Thousands are tied to your life.
Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. One more time.